broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Chicken wow. All right, Alex Jones here. Have I successfully commandeered the other studio? Can't stop addicted to the shit. I'm not sure, but
yes, Alex. Yes.
I want to get it hooked up. You have this more between the shows and things. I don't do yes, this a Alex, lot, but I set the studios up to do this. But then when I do it, I'm not ever sure. It's kind of, but we're going to start doing it every day. Every day I'm going to start doing this until we get it all going well. This is the War Room. I promise to take these phone calls, so I've commandeered my broadcast. You're sitting up for 4 hours. Owen's coming up in the next segment. Tim in North Carolina said something really smart. The reason they're saying I'm fake news, the reason they're doing all this, the reason they're lying about what we say is they know big stuff's coming out. So they go, Alex Jones says George Soros is a Nazi. He's fake news. They like think they've made me the fake news brand, though it hasn't happened. And so they just keep saying, Jones says the sun came up this morning. It obviously didn't. But it's like they thought Trump was easier to beat. So the media, the memo showed in WikiLeaks, they said, push Trump. Because that'll get out the other good candidates. And then it still beat Hillary. Like they thought, take Alex Jones, say Trump's connected to him, that'll hurt Trump. It made people think Trump was more real. And it's the same thing now. They think trying to destroy me makes us smaller because they still think they're the authority, but that's not happening. So now they think they're psychologically inoculating people that we're fake news ahead of some big events. Kim, you're absolutely at 10,000% on target. What do you think the big things are that are about to come out? The indictments of Comey? You know, all this stuff. What do you think they're getting ready for?
This thing I see now is the Hillary and Umit Abedin. And I know it's controversial, but it's if it's true, a lot of people are about to go down and they're panicking and they're trying to distract the citizen journalists. They're using you as the number one scapegoat in so that people will not want to believe the things that are coming out. They're doing videos where a person may be saying something, but they try to get you to believe it's not them. I mean, it's just so much that's where they're trying to distract people and try to fool them so that their minds won't click. And then, so therefore, people are going to be confused. They're trying to confuse people against the truth.
Absolutely. So what do you think we should do?
I think you should get it out, get more information on there and let them know something is about to drop. And they're using you to deter the people from to distract them into not believing what's about to come out.
You sound like a really wise lady. I don't want to be delusional. They pick me because they think, yeah, I got a big audience, but I'm kind of funny, eccentric, so they can demonize me. But it has blown up in their face. I'm not saying I'm that good. They pick me because they think, well, he's big, but he's weak. But they're still delusional. They don't get that the reality of how we're just real resonates. I think they've miscalculated again. I'm not being arrogant. At a gut level, though, I think they've miscalculated, Kim.
Yes. And I just believe that they're just trying to keep people's mouths shut against all this thing.
That's it. They're sending a message. If you speak up, we're going to do what we did to Alex Jones. Exactly. And it's not a tough guy. How do you roll over to a bully? I don't get it. Like, it makes me want to fight him, you know?
Exactly. And I pray and I ask God for discernment. And these are some of the things that he's share with me. And one of the main things is what people have to realize. The word says, if you need to sell your coat to arm yourself, that's what you need to do. And that's in God's word. So he wouldn't tell us that we need to be armed if there wasn't a reason for it.
Exactly. Because good people aren't going to hurt folks with their weapons. They're going to stand up against evil people. And Hitler and Stalin and Mao couldn't have done what they did without taking people's guns. God bless you, Kim. You know, I want to do a show with the really wise callers that call. Get Kim's number. Give it to Nico. I'm going to launch that podcast soon with all these great folks. I want get Kim's number. Kim's awesome. that graphic that Marcos Morales made, War Room. I'm going to have that graphic too for InfoWars soon. It's amazing. Really, that highest quality 3D graphic. Can we put that on screen so people can see it? That is sexy right there. That is amazing. I kind of sprung this on people today. We got studios. One's 50 yards over there. I'm over here. Owen's about to take over. But these callers. Kim, I want to launch. The podcast studio is almost done. We've hired a couple more crews. We're getting them trained. But let me tell you, the crew's really smart. I don't just say that patronizing. They're immersed in this. They got a lot to say. So I want to get them starting out with like weekend shows. They can tape them, whatever, where they do podcast. And I also want to have a podcast where you've got a host to kind of lead them through the breaks and sponsors and stuff, but where we have like some of the really smart callers, and all the callers are great, but the really smart ones, like five or six callers, then maybe some others get on, and where they have like their own show. Because nobody's done that where there's actually a show with the callers. Stern does it with like sidekicks and guests, but I want to do it with the callers. And then like every month, fly one of the callers here so that they're in studio co-hosting when we do the 2-3 hour weekend podcast. I just want to do so much. I really want to like turn everybody loose. And but we got to get people trained because let me tell you, TV and radio at the same time, plus the satellites and all the internet feeds, this is one of the most complex studios there is. And that's what the globalists hate it, is this is big brain trust we've built, and they want to shut it down. And again, I don't want to sit here and say, oh, I'm glad they're attacking me. I'm glad this is going on. I'm a tough guy. No, I mean, it's proof of what we're doing. It's my mission. And so I hate it. I mean, if I told you the stuff, and I'm not trying to make you feel sorry for me, I asked for it. So, you know, here's the thing. I'm not like one of these dead zombies I see wandering around aimlessly who only thinks about themselves and then is not alive. I'm thinking about myself so much, I think about everybody else. And I don't just virtue signal. I do what I say I'm going to do. And to have their main assault now on us and to see all their miscalculations, the globalists are blind. They have limited knowledge of evil. They don't have knowledge of good. Because if evil people had knowledge of real good, they would not be evil. And it's just an amazing time. Mick and Stefan, I'm going to go to you. I'm going to turn the baton over to Owen Schroyer. But Owen, briefly, tell me what you got coming up in the next 3 hours, or I guess 2 hours and 51 minutes here on the War Room with you and a guy sued by the Democratic Party in the next kickoff of the fake Russia investigation, right? As that other horse got ridden to death by Mueller, they shift into Stormy Daniels and all the stuff, and then they roll that over now into a whole new fake lawsuit, which they can then ride out a total fiction.
Well, Alex, I
like that. But see, we're going to do these live feed tests because we used to be able to do these until we get this right. Let's try Owen again.
All right.
It's not going to work. Well, let's test it live on air. The radio stations don't care. Let's troubleshoot it today because I built this whole thing. Built this whole testing on air. This is fun. So let's just keep it going, Owen, until we figure it out. Because I know I kind of like that. Are people hearing that on the internet?
Is this the alien invasion from Mars happening right now? Oh, whoa! Look at that!
This is the Alex Jones 420 special. The engineers are smoking dank Soros weed.
Wow, the 420 has it's gotten all the way here to Austin, Texas. All right, I think we got everything working now, Alex. So you can hear me.
We finally just made it through a few bumps. We did it. And we're here. Whoa, 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 whoa! That Soros weed. Have you seen the Young Turns video, Jones, where they attack me and they use our studio?
Lord Jones, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
You know, we should do an interview like in a sewer. Like, we're interviewing the Young Turks and, like show crap floating by.
Oh, yeah. No, a lot of times I'd interview a Trump protester in the street. It'd be, you know, a horse dropping because the Mounties are on the scene. So, you know, the Mounties have droppings. You interview the Hillary protesters. But I'll tell you what we got coming up, Alex. I'm going to break down the Comey memo and why the Justice Department watchdog is now probing it over possible classified information being leaked. I've got all the details there.
Well, there's no possible. Roger. One of them's top secret.
Alex, there, it's not a coincidence that this memo gets released today and the Justice Department watchdog is immediately announcing a probe. I mean, James Comey obviously leaked at least three pieces of information from this memo, probably
illegally.
Well, he
just leaked exactly. You're absolutely right. So that's coming up real fast. Mick and Stefan, you're on the air. Go ahead, Mick in Virginia.
Hello. Alex.
Mick, you're there. Virginia. Sorry. Hey, are you there, man? Mick. You're on the air. What's up? What's your pop.
I just wanted to say, you're supported. You got millions of people that know what's going on. That we're not buying all the crap. We know what's going on, and keep up your good work.
By the way, when I thank you, it's because you are like the life raft. Like, that's why I have so much confidence. I know no matter what happens to us. No, believe me, I know it, brother. So thank you.
Yeah, and now I'm sitting here at my kitchen table. I've got Vitamin Mineral Fusion. I've got Brain Force. I've got Secret 12. I've got Alpha Power, the Real Red Pill, Caveman. I mean, and it didn't cost that much. And I have a CTE. I got a couple of concussions playing baseball as a youth. And my life is changing. I'm getting, I'm getting up. I'm getting out. But I had a question, especially since it's 420. Anyway, all those products are great. They all work. They do what they say they do. They really help. Give you energy, clarity. They really help. But have you looked into CBD oil?
Yes, and I think CBD oil has no THC, doesn't get you high. The state police are trying to stop it in Texas. It's wrong. It'd be a great funder of operation. We know the best supplier in Colorado. We're very close to doing a deal. They'll just try to shut us down and not let us have credit card fulfillment if we sell CBDs. But absolutely, for strokes, for brain hemorrhages, for all sorts of brain traumas, and they admit CBD is amazing. It's just a miracle part of the plant. And we're trying to look at putting a good CBD out. So you're saying you like our products, but you've had great results with CBD.
Your products are a part of what I have. I have your product.
No, but I'm saying separately, we don't sell CBD, but you're saying CBD with your traumatic brain injury, you're saying CBD helps you.
Yes, but I have to get it somewhere else.
No, I get it. I'm plugging it. I know. It's amazing. I know for all sorts of brain issues and studies, it's like 20 times better than Prozac. I get it.
Yeah. It does help. It helps me focus more. It helps me. I mean, it's kind of synergistic with the other things that I'm doing.
But you're saying taking a good CBD, but also taking our products, you're saying your life's gotten better.
Yes.
Well, sir, you read my mind. I was in a meeting last night about a CBD deal and, how to do it where Texas won't throw my ass in jail. It has no THC in it. It's the part that's...
I'm getting some that has THC in it, and it's legal. It is 0.3 THC.
No, I understand. It doesn't even... it's got to be at 0.3 or lower. It's just that even if it's lower than that, Texas... I'm glad you're in Virginia. Maybe they're not as bad. I love my state of Texas, but this thing about marijuana heads need to be put in jail, that's a bunch of bull. And the fact that Trump is saying decriminalize is the answer. I'm just saying CBD doesn't get you high. It's not the part that does it. It stabilizes the brain in major studies. It is a miracle chemical that God gave us.
Right. But also, I think we also ought to be able to grow it in our backyard, too.
I'm a libertarian. I'm all about it. Alcohol, with its bad attributes, is way, 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 way worse than marijuana. And it's got good attributes for the heart, just have a few glasses of wine. But you're right. Marijuana gets abused. They've really made some strong stuff out there. I don't smoke it. It makes me paranoid. But the medical stuff of the derivatives of it is incredible. It's time to bring it back. Our Declaration of Independence is written on it. Stefan and then the War Room. we show the tweet from yesterday where they actually caught me, CNN, from my backyard, shot a telephoto photo of me relaxing in my kitchen? It's a pretty shocking photo. Shows some secrets about my anatomy people don't actually know about. But I got a pre-tensile tail. And it's a big deal. People are kind of jealous about it right now. It's kind of one of the big rages on the internet. Okay, I'm being sarcastic. It's called a joke. This is The War Room. I am Owen Schroyer. Now, I'm actually Alex Jones, your host. Owen's riding a shotgun with us from the other studio. There's the photo. Let's put it on screen, please. People ask, like, why does he have a stove in his backyard? And I kept explaining to people that, well, no, it's through the backyard that CNN took the photo. And again, I don't see it on the program monitor, but I'm guessing it's there. That is a real photo. And CNN is real news as well, ladies and gentlemen. So that is on screen. I think for the other studio. It's weird to be this studio or the other studio, but that, there you go. There you go. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Oh, don't leave me. No. That is the next advanced alien species right there. Look at it. Finally, a photo of me for Playgirl. Playgirl has me on their cover. It's a new photo. All right, we're having some fun right now. Stefan in Pennsylvania, you're on the air. Welcome. Thanks for holding.
This real quick, and basically just break down the whole philosophy of them. And you talk about this a lot, Alex, and basically kind of point out their tactic. And their tactic is always the same. It's always about obstructing and centralizing. That is their that's the basis of their entire
philosophy. Obstructing normal human mobility and normal human progressive development. They call themselves progressive because they're eugenicist regressives. Exactly. So you just said it. Obstruct and centralize.
And to top it off even more, it's not even just humans. It's all life forms because they have this inner it's cowardice, basically. But they base their whole existence off of fear because they can't see the unknown. They can't foretell things. So they have to control every single aspect of their life. And like you say, they're OCD driven. And I mean, a lot of people are. But these people, they have kind of a psychotic lapse.
That's it. They have no vision. They're like blind. I'm not bashing blind folks. They're spiritually blind. So they just seek to pull everything down because they're already fallen.
Absolutely. And that's the only way they can get above others is by pulling everybody below them. So it's a whole conquest notion that I think goes back probably since, you know, the kings and the queens of old and even before then. But I think the people that really originated this doctrine of control is the Roman Catholic Church, because before them there was no such thing as like kind of like institutionalized doctrines and methods of control. It was mostly done through force or fear of being attacked, you know, through a powerful army or whatever. But now it's based off of ideologies and ideas and institutions and things like that. And we just have to realize this spirit and be aware that it stems from cowardice and fear. And as long as we're able to confront that within ourselves every day, then we can drive that fear out and bring in this new renaissance that you talk about. And I've been listening to your show since I was 13 years old. I'm 25 now. I moved here from Serbia right after the Bosnian War. And I mean, I see what's going on there. They basically collapsed Yugoslavia so they can, you know, one, run that pipeline through Kosovo, but not
only. Well, Yugoslavia had its own airplane and car factories and had resorts and hotels getting built. And the globalists didn't control it, so they brought the Muslims in and blew it up and then said, oh, the Serbs did it. But the UN's own report said the Muslims started it and killed double what the Serbs did. It's just incredible, just like CNN backed the Arab Spring. Our government is allied with radical Islam.
They are, but you know what? They're so upset that they can't have radical Islamists here by the bush the way they have them in Europe. So they have to make their own force, which is what Antifa is, which is what the whole leftist political ideology is based around. That whole same aspect of cowardice. They have no debate. They have no information. They have no fluidness. They have no God in them. They're completely morally bankrupt and dead inside, and that's how they're controlled by this ideology.
Exactly, and Soros loved helping the Nazis. He loves crushing Christianity. He wants to destroy Russia. Soros just literally is he loves crushing countries. He loves bankrupting anything good, and then he's the left's God. You cannot overstate how pathetic he is.
walking around free. I mean, it's not a joke. It's not a secret. I mean, Nigel Farage goes, to the UN councils and talks about this, you know, weekly, and everybody just sees it as some type of, you know.
And by the way, Farage doesn't make a big deal about it. They've tried to confirm, the police say, three times they tried to kill him. That's EU police admit they're trying to kill him. The airplane crash, all of it. And he doesn't make a big deal about it. He just mans up, moves forward. But that's how serious this is.
But you see right there, that's true strength, that's true courage, and I feel God's presence on this earth stronger than it ever has before. I see it through you, I see it through Trump, I see it through all these people within this movement happening right now that's really driving up liberty and freedom, and like you say, you know, free market. Free market's the best way to do it because it bases itself off of flow and
human choice,
not obstruction.
Human choice,
exactly.
It's a real vote. And they go, the current system's capitalism. No, it's not. It's monopoly men.
Exactly. It's centralizing. You know, it's taking it. And I love the fact that Trump is so hard on Russia. I just saw an article today, them saying that Trump is anti-trade. Trump's not anti-trade. He's pro-fair trade. These people are so mentally twisted. They don't even know what up and down is. I just don't understand how they have jobs, especially as journalists. That makes no sense to me at all.
What's your gut tell you, Stefan? How's this going to end?
You see, I love that video you did right after the airstrikes on Friday. You know, basically, you just went off the chain. And I think Trump does need to be reminded that that's not what he came to do. He came to fight a bigger fight. And if he's not willing to go forth, and Mike Cernovich said it best, he's trying to appease the traitors and the snakes. No, the sword needs to be pulled out. Their head needs to be put on the block, and they need.
They're already in full assault on us. The fight's here. Let's not play games about it. Like Patrick Henry said, it's already here, folks. Choose a side.
Exactly. This is the time to choose a side. Are you going to be with the part that uplifts humanity, or are you going to be the part that drags?
And that's the thing. People that join the evil because they think it's going to win, or it's the establishment. They don't get Liberties Rising. They're choosing to fight us. They ought to be afraid of us if they knew history. See, they still see the power structure here, but it's sinking. We're rising, and we're on the right side of history. All these people thinking they're picking the right side because they pick CNN or the Oscars, that's all imploding. Don't they get they're about to really face us? And we're not looking to crush anybody, but they want to fight. They got one.
Hey, Alex, I gotta interrupt before the segment because there's a personification of what you're talking about exactly. Look at where you're at and where Glenn Beck is at. You get attacked all day. You get demonized all day. You're a success. You're building new studios. You're building careers. You're building a company. Glenn Beck, on the other hand, failing, loss in ratings, has to sell his private jet. Glenn Beck went with the establishment, invested in them, total loser, total failure. Alex Jones went with his gut, went with what's right, went with what's true, total success story, and they're still trying to bring you down, Alex. That's the personification of everything you just said.
Owen Schroyer takes over in T-minus 4 minutes. Stay with us and spread the links. You are the resistance.
Making talk radio great again. It's the room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, here is how the rest of today's transmission is going to go. I'm about to get into this Comey memo. I read it today. I got some highlights. I got some notes. I'm going to break that down. Then Roger Stone comes in the second hour, and I'm sure he is really fired up to discuss the lawsuit that includes his name. The Democrats have now filed against Russia. You cannot make this up. And then some other headlines I want to hit. And then in the third hour, it is WikiLeaks Friday, line to line. In the third hour, the entire third hour, it's your calls. What is your favorite WikiLeaks content? Podesta emails, DNC emails, Vault 7 release. Anything you want in the third hour, it's WikiLeaks Friday. You call in with the WikiLeaks content that's your favorite, and we will discuss it. And, of course, WikiLeaks and Julian Assange also mentioned in the Democrat lawsuit versus the Russia Federation. You cannot make this up. So that's what you can expect today. But without hesitating any longer, let me get into this Comey memo. Now, I'm going to explain some things when I finish this, but ladies and gentlemen, think about this. There are multiple leaks that came from this Comey memo, and all you have to do is read it once to figure that out. And that's why immediately, less than 24 hours after the release of this Comey memo, government watchdogs are already launching a probe into it because Comey leaked, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me get into the actual details here. This is from Comey meeting with Trump. I told him that I wanted to meet with him to tell him more about what is in the reports written by blank. Although I didn't use that name, I said that the written reports themselves were blank, 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 and the content known at the intelligence community senior level, and that I didn't want him to get caught cold by some of the detail. I then explained that the totally redacted. Now, this paragraph right here to me, now, because of the redactions, we're left to assume, but this is Comey talking to Trump about the Steele dossier, not crediting it to whoever it was meant to be credited to. That's why he says he didn't use that name. So he deceived the president. Then he talks about how the intelligence community, the senior levels of the intelligence community, were basically using that. Okay, so that's admitted page one in the Comey memo. I go on. I, Comey, said it was important that we not give them the excuse to write that the FBI has the material. Okay, so, or redacted. So what is that? Or what? Comey said it was important not to give them the excuse to write that the FBI has the material or redacted. Or what? Why did they redact that? And then, and also that sounds like a total cover your ass. Total cover your ass. He doesn't want people covering this in this light because the truth of it is it's Clinton paid for opposition research. But then it goes on. And then we were keeping it very close hold. He said he couldn't believe that they hadn't gone with it. I said it was inflammatory stuff that they would get killed for reporting straight up from the source reports. So why is he talking about this? This is all about the media. He said media outlets like CNN had them and were looking for a news hook. So this is CNN, how they got this Russian dossier, you have to ask. Who is CNN colluding with? The FBI, the CIA, who? And then they're talking to Comey as well. So they're talking to Comey. Why is CNN in contact with Comey like a regular thing? And then he says they would get killed for reporting it because he knew it was fake. They all knew it was fake. They used it as leverage. And when Trump didn't fall for it, they ran with it. That's how that went. And that's now confirmed via this declassified memo. I go on. He then started talking about all the women who had falsely accused him, Trump, of grabbing or touching them, with particular mention of a stripper who said he grabbed her, Stormy Daniels. Our job was to protect the president's from efforts to coerce him. Amazing that Comey says that his job was to protect the president from efforts to coerce him, as he's literally doing just that and admits it in his own memo. You cannot make this stuff up. Now, there's this whole paragraph. I won't read the whole thing, but basically all of the fake news, all of the hype against President Trump, he calls out in this conversation with Comey as being fake. Now, I wonder if he didn't do that on purpose because he was recording the conversation and he wanted to be able to reference those tapes later to say, look, I told you it was fake from the very beginning. And then Comey says, I don't do sneaky things. I don't leak. I don't do weasel moves. Wow. Folks, it's going to come out that Comey leaked this whole thing to multiple sources. He's the leaker. It's unbelievable. He's telling Trump he's not the leaker. He is the leaker. They had a long discussion of the Clinton email investigation. Comey laid out for him his thinking in a matter similar to his discussions with Senators Feinstein and Grassley during their one-on-ones. The one detail I added about the attorney general directing me not to use the word investigation. So there's the attorney general, the AG, Loretta Lynch, not wanting him to use the word investigation to protect Hillary. And then you've got Comey meeting with Feinstein and Grassley. You can imagine what I think of Feinstein. Grassley, I think, is a solid character, but I mean, the guy's not with it anymore. He's an old gentleman, and those were Comey's two sources. Imagine that. People, I'm sorry, but Feinstein and Grassley, I'm just not sure if they're mentally prepared for this type of battle with James Comey. And that's who he's going one-on-one with, representing the Congress. He mentions how Trump knew the sequence of events with the Hillary email investigation really well. Very interesting. Trump asked Comey whether he said, your guy McCabe has a problem with Trump. Trump asked him if your guy McCabe has a problem with him. Funny how he labels him your guy. And then, of course, McCabe now says he'll bring down the entire corrupt establishment if he goes down. Whatever their personal views, as Comey says, whatever their personal views, they strip them when they step into their bureau roles and actually hold political people in slight contempt without regard to party. So he's basically standing up for McCabe, saying that he's a straight shooter. Well, it turns out Comey lied about that and deceived the president there, too. Trump asked Comey to compare A.G. Holder and A.G. Lynch. Again, was that Trump knowing he was recording the situation and wanted to set Comey up? Very interesting there. I go on. Trump turned to what he called the golden showers thing and recounted much of what he had said previously on that topic. He repeated that it was a complete fabrication and fake news. I explained again why I thought it was important that he know about it. I also explained that one of the reasons we told him was that the media, CNN in particular, was telling us they're about to run with it. So why are they talking to CNN? And how did CNN get the dossier? And then why wouldn't they run with it already? Because they knew it was fake. Trump said he thought he should ask me to investigate the whole thing to prove it was a lie. I replied it was up to him, but I wouldn't want to create a narrative that we were investigating him because we are not, and I worried such a thing would be misconstrued. Folks, if that's not cover your ass, I don't know what is. Of course Comey didn't want to investigate the source of the dossier. Of course they didn't want to investigate that because they knew it was a lie from the beginning. So Comey's saying, well, we don't want to investigate to protect you, President. Bunch of bull. He didn't want to investigate because he wanted to protect himself and the Clintons. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's all in this. I had been pleasantly surprised that President Obama thought of the role the way I did. He wanted competence and independence and didn't want the FBI involved in policy. He wanted to be able to sleep at night knowing the FBI was well run. Well, again, why do you have to explain that? Isn't that a given? This is more cover your ass from James Comey. Trump then returned to loyalty, saying, I need loyalty. I replied that he would always get honesty from me. He paused and said, that's what he wants, honest loyalty. Now, folks, 110% beyond reasonable doubt, that was leaked by James Comey. That is a Comey leak right there. Where, remember the story? Honest loyalty. He wanted loyalty. Where did that leak come from? James Comey. So there's at least one leak, probably multiple leaks in here, but there's one confirmed leak from this memo from James Comey. We're going to have more on the other side. This is The War Room. Don't go anywhere.
Nourish up.
All right, no time to waste. Let's get right back into this Comey memo. He is now writing about his interactions with Reince Priebus. I explained to Reince that at our dinner, the president had expressed interest in me to investigate the Golden Showers thing. I repeated what I had told the president about not wanting to create a narrative that we were investigating him. So again, or you didn't want to have to investigate that because then you would have to expose where it came from, the Clintons. And it shows you how fake it is when he says, well, we don't want to look into that because we don't want to have a narrative that we're investigating you, even though that's already the premise of the entire ordeal. The premise already is that it's Trump who's under the gun here. And so it's totally fake when Comey says, oh, we don't want the narrative to be out there that we're investigating you. That was already the narrative. Comey knew it. He was covering his own ass, and he was covering the Clintons' ass, and he was covering Fusion GPS's ass. And the law firm Perkins Coie. He goes on. Priebus then asked me if this was a private conversation. I replied that it was. Well, that's kind of a strange thing to ask, don't you think? Unless you're worried that somebody's a leaker. Priebus then asked, do you guys have a FISA order on Mike Flynn? again, very curious. Now, Flynn is brought up earlier in this, but I found that that was odd. Why would Priebus be asking Comey if they have a FISA order on Mike Flynn? That seems to be very, very strange. And it's very loaded, the response that he gives to this. That's why I don't get into it. But as you find out, of course, they were investigating Flynn. I go on. Still the same meeting, I believe, here. Yeah. With Priebus, I again explained that Andy McCabe was a pro. Oh, so here we go, back to Andy McCabe. Here he is again, backing McCabe, saying how McCabe is a straight shooter. Well, it got exposed. He wasn't a straight shooter at all. We go on. The president said the hookers thing is nonsense. So now the president is in the conversation as well. But that Putin had told him, we have some of the most beautiful hookers in the world. He did not say when Putin told him this. And I don't recall blank. Now, this to me is bombshell. So we now can confirm, this is from February 8th, 2017, this memo. We can now confirm that prior to February 8th, 2017, Donald Trump has communicated with Vladimir Putin. Now, I'm surprised they don't run with that bombshell and say that that's proof of collusion. Because I think they know the truth is that Trump is colluding with Putin to bring them down. That's the truth of this. It goes on. We aren't, and again, now you, and then you hear this and it makes me even more interesting. Comey says, we aren't the kind of killers that Putin is. When I said this, the president paused noticeably. I don't know what to make of it, but he clearly noticed I had directly criticized him. Is that Trump knowing that Comey's lying and trying to demonize Putin? Or is that Comey writing that down to try to act like there's something there between Trump and Putin? But again, you can confirm now via the Comey memo, Trump had communicated with Putin prior to February 2017. To me, that's bombshell, and I think it's great news. Now he's talking to the president again. I then explained why leaks purporting to be about the FBI intelligence operations were also terrible and a serious violation of law. He leaked his own memo. So James Comey, in his own memo, talks about how serious it is to leak FBI intelligence while he leaks FBI intelligence. I explained that the FBI gathers intelligence in part to equip the president to make decisions. Really? That's not my vision of the FBI. But that would mean that it got politicized. Again, I explained that the FBI gathers intelligence in part to equip the president to make decisions. Well, I thought you said that that's not what Obama wanted in your memo earlier. I thought that the FBI was supposed to be nonpartisan, not getting into policy. Well, he doubles back and retracts that and basically goes both ways in his own memo. Once he says we try to help the president make decisions with our intel, the other says we're independent from him. So which Comey do you trust? I said I was eager to find leakers and would like to nail one to the door as a message. He's the leaker. It goes on. I said something about the value of putting a head on a pike as a message. He replied by saying it may involve putting reporters in jail. That was February 14th, 2017. 3 months later, Reality Winner leaks and Reality Winner is in jail. Now Comey and the president again. The president began by joking that I was getting more publicity than he. I replied that I hate it. Yeah, you hate it so much you're now doing a book tour. Give me a break. He then said he was trying to run the country and the cloud of Russia, the Russia business, was making that difficult. Yeah, that was the point. He then went on great length explaining that he has nothing to do with Russia, has a letter from the largest law firm in D.C. He has gotten no income from Russia. Yada, 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 is bringing a personal lawsuit against Christopher Steele. How is that not bombshell? Trump is bringing a personal lawsuit against Christopher Steele, the man that was paid to get Russian intelligence and dirt on Trump for Hillary Clinton. Totally fabricated. And then it goes on. He accounts now from those who traveled, or he has also witness accounts from those who traveled with him to the Miss Universe pageant that night and can confirm he didn't do anything. And he also didn't even stay the night there. You have the flight records. He asked what he could do to lift the cloud. I explained that we were running it down as quickly as possible. Again, now Comey is deceiving and lying to the president. They're trying to wind down the Russian collusion investigation as quickly as possible. Folks, this was over a year ago. That is a total lie from James Comey. So James Comey is lying, James Comey, just as the president has successfully and correctly labeled him. We go on here. We're in a different memo a couple months later. Trump said he was following up to see if I did what he had asked last time, getting out that he personally is not under investigation. I replied that I had passed the request to the acting attorney general and had not heard back from him. Well, why the hell is that? He spoke for a bit about why it was so important. He is trying to do work for the country, visit with foreign leaders, and any cloud, even a little cloud, gets in the way of that. So again, why doesn't he hear back from the attorney general? And remember what Chuck Schumer said, folks, the intelligence community has six ways of Sunday of getting back at you. That's what this is. And it's all confirmed in this memo. He talks about this is the intelligence community getting this Russian dossier. Then Comey brings it to Trump to try to intimidate him. Trump says, let's investigate the dossier. Comey says, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to have a narrative of you being investigated, even though that's the whole narrative to begin with. And they didn't want to do that because they knew the source of the dossier and they knew it was Hillary Clinton paid for opposition research material and totally fabricated. And it all comes from the intelligence community. Like Chuck Schumer said, they have six ways of Sunday to getting back at you. And it's all in this memo. I mean, it's unbelievable. So there it is, folks. Now, let me read some of these headlines. This comes less than 24 hours after this memo gets released. Wall Street Journal, Justice Department watchdog probes Comey memos over classified information. Ladies and gentlemen, James Comey leaked his own memo. And it's and you don't have to be a master detective to figure that out. It's his own memo. How else does it get out if he's not the one that leaked it? And you've got at least two or three instances of direct words and information from this memo that were leaked to the press. Comey leaked his own memo. Trump laments, this is from Bloomberg, Trump laments that Flynn's life is destroyed while Comey profits. Exactly. Here's Mike Flynn, a patriot, guilty of nothing. He has to deal with the Justice Department. James Comey, total liar, probably perjured himself, working against the president, lying to the president, and he gets to tour and get $1 million book advance. It's sick and sinister and disgusting, and I hope Trump fixes it. Comey memos reveal, oh, this is a Washington Post, listen to this tripe. Comey memos reveal Republicans have blundered again. They are in total denial of what has happened. The Comey memos reveal that Comey blundered again. The Comey memos reveal that Comey is screwed. And the Washington Post has no idea. They think the Republicans are blundered. It has nothing to do with Republicans. Oh, so there you go, folks. There's your highlights from the Comey memo. Watch out. That is going to come back to bite Comey in the butt. I have not plugged once this hour, and we've got double crews working today just to get the studio set up so that Alex could pipe in live with us. And it's all possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. So like I said earlier, Alex Jones doesn't go buy private jets when you fund him. He doesn't go buy fancy cars. He builds InfoWars. He builds new studios. He gets new show hosts. He hires more crew. That's what your support at InfoWarsStore.com does. Check out some of the great specials. 50% off Super Male Vitality, 50% off the Alpha Male Pack, 50% off Vitality and Balance Combo Pack. That is Super Male Vitality and the Real Red Pill. And these products have rave reviews, folks. We don't have to give you 50% off Super Male Vitality. We could sell it 100% price all day long, but we give it to you at 50% off because we want you to try it and we want you to support the InfoWar. So InfoWarsStore.com is how we remain independent. Roger Stone joins me on the other side. He is fired up about the Democrat lawsuit against the Russia Federation, WikiLeaks, and Roger Stone.
The left promises to launch a communist revolution. We promise to stand in their way. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome to The War Room. We're on the ramparts. We are in the fight, and we need your support in our vigorous efforts to overcome the globalist attempt to topple the president based on a totally fraudulent narrative. Now, as Owen mentioned, I was preparing for a hearty breakfast this morning when a sneak attack, the Democratic National Committee, filed a lawsuit against me, Donald Trump Jr., the Russian state, a Russian, this is ironic, a Russian operative using the pseudonym Guccifer 2.0. Well, there's the first error in their legal documents, alleging yet again that we all work together, the Donald Trump campaign, Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, all of these people are co-defendants in a meritless, bogus, baseless lawsuit. This is a left-wing conspiracy theory. It's a woven together collection of their same mainstream media BS. It has no evidence or proof. It's based on conjecture, supposition, and a circumstance. It is really beyond the pale. The lawyers who filed it, in my opinion, should be held liable for sanctions. It is a fraud upon the court. But as you know, Owen, this is really about headlines. What the fake newsers want are headlines to spew their same nonsense. It shows you the Russian collusion investigation is stalled, the official investigation. This is part of the lawfare the InfoWars faces. It's part and parcel of the same thing. Yet another BS lawsuit based on nothing, based on supposition, conjecture, presumption, but not on any facts or any evidence. So it is vitally important now that I have to ramp up my legal defense fund. It costs hundreds of thousands of dollars just to move to dismiss this piece of garbage, this recycled piece of crap. Interestingly, the lawsuit itself is essentially just a recycling of the existing lawsuit by Project Democracy, which is an Obama-controlled front group that they admit is being used to thwart the policies of Donald Trump. They've used the lawsuit against me, against the president's campaign as a fundraising device. The judge in that case has issued an order for oral arguments in our suit to dismiss. Like Alex Jones, I have to fight these out. And they're expensive. That's why I ask people to go to stonedefensefund.com, stonedefensefund.com. Between the Senate Judiciary Committee investigation, the Senate Intelligence Committee investigation, the funds I have already spent on the House Intelligence Committee investigation, all providing nothing. The WikiLeaks narrative is false. The Assange narrative is false. They keep repeating the same lies over and over again. They're here in this lawsuit again. Roger Stone seemed to know in advance about the WikiLeaks project. We've disposed of this time and time again. It is not any truer just because they repeat it as if they've been asleep. So that's kind of my lowdown on the lawsuits, Owen. Joining us today, Boone Cutler, a warrior, veteran, decorated American who fought for his country, has been a leader on this 420 for the use of the Veterans Administration to treat our veterans with PTSD using legalized cannabis. And also joining us later, Sean Stone, the movie director, will talk about his, in fact, incredible new film. Welcome back. This is the War Room, and joining us now is our own legal beagle, our favorite legal analyst, who's had a quick opportunity to examine the Democratic National Committee lawsuit against the Russian state, the Russian Secret Service agents, the intelligence agencies, whoever Guccifer 1 is, they claim a pseudonym used by a Russian unproved. Donald Trump Jr., the Trump campaign, Eric Trump, Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, Paul Manafort. This is a rogues gallery of the far left. The lawsuit is meritless from what I can see. Let's go to Tyler Nixon and get his expert assessment.
Hey, Roger. It's good to be with you and Owen, as always. This is the kind of lawsuit, after having just skimmed it, that really gives attorneys a bad name. And there's a reason that even back to Shakespeare and Henry VI, he said, the famous phrase, let's first kill all the lawyers. This is an abuse of the judicial system by sleazy legal assassins from the hard status left. And it's clear that their intent is to use this as a harassment and, enervating tactic, in other words, to basically deplete funds. You see it in the comments and the tweets of the hard leftists when they're rejoicing at that 20% of the Trump campaign funds have had to be expended on legal defense so far. This is also venue shopping by these sleaze merchants. They have moved this now to the Southern District of New York, where you have an attorney general, as an example, although it's in federal court, an attorney general who's trying to change New York law to eliminate double jeopardy because they're afraid that Donald Trump is going to issue pardon. So they're trying to basically end run, the presidential pardon power. But that's aside from this suit. But this lawsuit is basically a regurgitation of the same pile of garbage. And it's a kitchen sink lawsuit. They have thrown in everything, including the kitchen sink, that's been, news media reports, any sort of speculation. It really is just a total, almost a cut and paste of the failing Protect Democracy Obama Soros front group lawsuit that was filed against you in the Trump campaign last July, that is now, in my opinion, is absolutely a slap, a strategic lawsuit against public participation, and should be dismissed on that basis. And I think that they sense that even in the D.C. District Court, that they're thrown together miasma of fake charges and phony allegations is not going to hold up. So they've decided, okay, we've got to open up another front here up in New York, and another favorable venue with a bunch of leftist partisan lawyers, Yaleys and so forth, who, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a bunch of Yale lawyers in Washington, D.C. or New York who are out to get Trump.
So, Tyler, but give us your assessment of the actual lawsuit. I mean, where's the beef? Have they produce a great record of evidence and proof for their allegations? What's there?
No, absolutely not. That's exactly, I mean, first of all, the lawsuit opens with the line, no one is above the law, which I find absolutely rich from the perspective of just the highfalutin, the fact that it's coming from the DNC. But, they're talking about a server. They're claiming, and this is a new little revelation, that the server was actually hacked on July 27, 2015. Now, the history of the Trump campaign. He was had barely even launched his campaign yet at that point. I mean, you're talking early in the campaign.
The other point that's absolutely key is, I've read the lawsuit very clearly. To win this lawsuit, it has a premise that the DNC was even hacked by anyone. They must first meet that burden in the court. That is unproven. Just because John Brennan says it after he's had too many beers over and over again doesn't make it a fact. It's a bogus claim of the deep state. There's far more forensic evidence that it was downloaded to a portable drive and taken out the back door, most likely by dare we say it, Seth Rich. There's far more scientific evidence that is true. How ironic that the DNC is suing me for trespassing, yet this is the same DNC that wouldn't let the FBI examine their servers, forcing us to believe the false narrative created by CrowdStrike that the Russians hacked their servers. But they give us no evidence. What they give us is a bogus claim. We, I think, at this point, know better. This is exactly what you predicted as lawfare. It's the same thing Alex Jones is facing in this myriad of crazy lawsuits, baseless, meritless, dressed up. In the case of this lawsuit, the DNC lawsuit, it's a left-wing conspiracy theory, a kind of dressed up like a lawsuit. There's no evidence. There's no proof. It's just a strung together series of events with deep reverence to the intelligence services saying that they assess with a high degree of confidence which I say to you again, Owen, is code words for BS. It means they know nothing. That's when they're lying. Whenever they use those words, it's a tell. Look for it, folks. It means the deep state is treading water and exactly where we are today.
That's it. You know, it's a disgraceful abuse of our legal process. And you put your finger on it, Roger. I mean, it has requires leap upon leap upon leap of logic, like a bullfrog in a, from lily pad to lily pad, in order to even consider it to be like baseline meritorious. You know, they have strung it together. There's no proof that there's substantive links to the Russians or the Russian state. There's no proof that WikiLeaks is a Russian entity or agent. Yet, you know, this is all sort of just thrown together in, you know, again, the kitchen sink, the nasty stew, and they're just hoping that people will notice that there's no evidence and no proof. And the only proof that they would have of their hacking would be a DNC server that by the time they even get to it will have been sitting, according to this lawsuit, for 3 years. Now, how do you establish the evidence, the evidentiary chain of legitimacy for some computer server that's been sitting for 3 years in the hands of the Democrats that they wouldn't even turn over to the FBI, frankly, for forensic analysis? So it comes down to this. This is not meant to put out actual facts. This is not meant to make out a justiciable case. This is meant to tie you and others and the entire, you know, panoply of people listed as defendants, tie them up, drain their resources, you know, just have another headline grabbing, you know, suit that can basically keep putting this garbage out into the mix as we approach the 2018 midterms. I mean, it's very diabolical. It's cynical. It's abusive. It's disgusting. It's the Democrats.
Yeah, no, it is abuse of the system. Let me just read the crimes that we are alleged to have taken part in. Computer fraud and abuse, RICO. RICO Conspiracy, Wiretap Act, Stored Communications Act, Misappropriations of Trade Secrets under Defend Trade Secrets Act, Washington, D.C. Uniform Trade Secrets Act, Trespass to Chattels, Conspiracy to Commit Trespass to Chattels, and Virginia Computer Crimes. This is bogus nonsense. This is the basis, you see, for fake news. What they're really looking for is the headline, DNC sues. These lawyers must be held to task. Sanctions must be sought against them for wasting the court's time with bogus BS, conjecture, a supposition. It is really irresponsible, except for they're a bunch of partisan Ivy League pukes, elitist crapheads who have nothing better to do. Look, you lost the election. Your candidate, Hillary Clinton, was in the tank with the Russians. She and her husband took $145 million. Your hero, Barack Obama, abrogated the Constitution to spy on the president of the candidate for the president of the United States. Worse than Watergate. Both of them must go down for these crimes. Hillary Clinton had an illegal server. It was clearly illegal. The case was prosecutable from day one. It required no intent. She could have been prosecuted for criminal negligence, but she had the system wired, Comey, Mueller, etc. So that is what they're trying to cover. This bogus lawsuit only inflames us and herds us onward. I can't wait to clash with these MFers in a court. I will show that their lawsuit is completely and totally bogus. But I do need your help. StoneDefenseFund.com. Tyler, thanks for joining us with that very good and sharp legal analysis. And thanks for Owen for standing by. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the War Room. We have an active bureau here. I apologize for that. We are here with my colleague Owen Schroyer. We have been talking about the incredible Democratic National Committee lawsuit against yours truly and the Trump campaign, Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, the Russian state, Russian intelligence, the Russian army. Guccifer 2.0, who is alleged in the suit to be a Russian without foundation. This bogus piece of garbage is quite extraordinary. What do you make of this, Owen?
Well, I'm trying to figure out, you know, Tyler, I think, put it well last segment, talking about how this is the type of stuff that gives lawyers a bad name. This is the type of stuff that puts a bad rap on attorneys. You know, what type of diabolical lawyer would even take up a case like this, take up the cases that Alex is dealing with, that they're, you know, including me on and other reporters here. You know, it's like, what type of a person would even go with this? They know it's salacious. They know that there's nothing to it. And it just makes you wonder, are they in cahoots with these people? Do they have to file these lawsuits because in some way, shape, or form, they're in cahoots with whatever criminal activity that they're worried is about to be exposed? Or are they really just that diabolical and they'll just do anything for a dollar? They'll get behind any lawsuit just for another buck. But more than anything, Roger, I think it just shows their desperation. And they know that their backs are against the wall. They know that the rug is about to be pulled out from under them. So these lawsuits and all of the fake news, it's basically just kicking and flailing and, you know, trying to distract from everything that's about to come down on them. And the more I see stuff like this, even though it's meant to bring us down, even though it's meant to destroy us, Roger, the more I see stuff like this, the more I realize how truly desperate they are and how truly in a panic they are right now that, as Tyler said, they're literally trying to throw the kitchen sink at us.
No, I think Tyler Nixon's analysis was right on. This is the same regurgitated, mindless left-wing dribble that they have dealt up previously. As I said, it's the recycle of an already discredited lawsuit, which is pending our motion to dismiss. They cannot prove their basic thesis that the DNC was hacked by anybody, never mind the Russians, or that we, Roger Stone,
But they don't even try to prove it. They haven't even tried to prove it was Russia. They blockade anybody from trying to prove that. They just say, believe us at our word.
Yeah, no, it's a violation of the judicial process. It's meant for the headlines. The headlines fuels their fundraising. By the way, I do want to say, Owen, that your choice of neckwear today is particularly tasty and a great combination with that shade of blue. So I now realize yet again why you were named one of this year's international best dressed men by Stone on Style. For a tradition now in its 12th year.
Well, I have to say, Roger, to the untrained eye, they might not realize that you've actually worn three different hats today on the War Room. So I just want to give credit where credit is due. This is the trifecta of cowboy hats now that you have revealed here on the War Room.
Well, and the show's not over yet, so stay tuned. I'm in the Western United States today for a photo shoot, or a video shoot, which explains our costuming, as it were, in our background. But through the miracle of modern science, I'm able to join you in the Freedom Bunker there in Austin. I do think it's extraordinary what is going on, I must say, in the Senate Judiciary Committee, where Senator Charles Grassley, who I think is a very smart and honest guy, is trying to protect the longevity of special prosecutors, failing to recognize that the underlying law governing the appointment and the system of checks and balances to oversee special prosecutors has expired. That law must be passed first before we give any special prosecutor some enshrinement where no matter who else in government thinks they've abused their power, they cannot be removed. So, Senator, I urge you to recognize that under the old law, Mr. Mueller would have to go to a 3-judge federal panel to get approval for the expansion of his mandate into areas outside of Russian collusion. Today, he goes to Rosenstein, who rubber stamps whatever he wants, to give them some CYA, even though that's not required under any existing law. The man's budget is unlimited. His scope is unlimited. His ability to violate civil liberties is unlimited. This is unprecedented in our country. And it is, it is extraordinary that Senator Grassley wants to call the Senate Majority Leader's hand. Mitch McConnell says, as he should, this is not going to come to the floor. If they Congress wants to pass a new special counsel law that puts some reasonable controls on the current special counsel, that makes sense to me. But enshrining this guy with power that can never be taken away from him, that is a legislative error. I appeal to Senator Grassley, who's a good man, to change his mind. He's making an enormous mistake.
Well, and again, it's just an example when Chuck Schumer tries to pass this legislation representing the Democrats, just how desperate they are. They need Mueller there as the president of the deep state above Donald Trump. See, Trump is still, how should we say, held accountable by the media. That might not be the best phrase, but we'll use it for lack of a better term. Trump is still held accountable to the media. Trump still has to answer to the media. Trump still has to answer to Congress. Trump still has to answer to the public. Mueller doesn't have to answer to anybody. Mueller answers to no one.
Which reminds me, this story that Rod Rosenstein has assured the president that he is not a target of Mueller in the Michael Cohen investigation is the head fake of all time. Because surely, as an attorney, Rosenstein knows that the special prosecutor can change that determination overnight, not even required to inform the president. It's to lull him to sleep. It's to try to give him the Mickey before they take him out. Trust me. This guy Rosenstein is a rat. Look at him. He is a quisling for the deep state. He is the man most criminally liable in Uranium One. He does the final cover-up as the U.S. attorney. This guy belongs behind bars, and instead, he's a handmaiden and an enabler of Robert Mueller. Mueller, who gave him his first job, and therefore they have a conflict of interest that should void Mueller's appointment to begin with. It's Kafka-esque. Look, they are trying to vigorously cover up a criminal enterprise. They're all in on the fact that they use the phony Steele document. There's more evidence of Steele dealing with the Russians than the lawsuit by the DNC against me provides, as a matter of fact. That's how bogus this thing is. But we soldier on. They don't understand. We thrive on combat. We love fisticuffs of the rhetorical style. And otherwise, we are in here for the good fight. We're not going down easy. We won an election. We beat the living vinegar out of Hillary Clinton, exposing her to be a greedy, nasty, avaricious, foul-mouthed kleptocrat, and she was defeated. Why can't the left get used to this? You're on the War Room, coming back with Boone Cutler, a warrior, a man who served his country with distinction, to talk to us about PTSD and legalized cannabis.
Warning,
this broadcast
is not for the weak-minded. It's The War Room with Roger Stone. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. It is only appropriate that on today, April 20th, 4:20, we have an opportunity to gather with Boone Cutler. Boone Cutler is a warrior. He is a man who served his country in Iraq with a distinction. He's also an author, columnist, music video director, but more importantly, he is a warfighter rights leader. He's been a major spokesman and was a major force in the American Legion and other key veterans supporting legalized cannabis to support PTSD, something the Israelis have been doing with success for some time. I have been active through the U.S. Cannabis Coalition in this movement, and I am honored to have Boone Cutler with us today. Welcome to the War Room.
Roger, thanks for having me, man. It's great to be here, and I appreciate your time and appreciate the opportunity, to get out to a bigger audience. You know, your audience is really paying attention to the important issues in the country, and I think it's good we got this time together. Thanks for your time, sir.
Well, I want to honor you for your incredible work to help our veterans who desperately need cannabis as opposed to the other opioid-based drugs that are so damaging, these suicide rates among our veterans who are being treated with conventional Western medicine are just not acceptable. And you've really been a fighter in this area. So I'm going to lay back and let you lay out the landscape for us a little bit.
Well, sir, I think that's a great introduction. And yeah, I have been a fighter in this area because I see too many of my warfighter family members taking their own life. And I'm a firm believer that one of the reasons they're taking their own life is because of the medications that they're on. And when we talk about PTSD, we talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. I can talk about combat-related PTSD. Some of the other forms of PTSD, that's really not my forte. But when it comes to talking about combat-related PTSD, I think that the community has really opened their eyes right now and gotten into their minds the reality. And the reality is that combat-related PTSD is a different form. It's a whole different animal than what psychology wants to label it.
Your experience in terms of veterans who are successfully using cannabis as treatment. Tell us about that.
My experience is, I'll put it this way. I've never known a veteran, a warfighter, to take their own life that was not taking benzodiazepines. Secondly, I don't know any warfighter who is exclusively using cannabis and CBD that have taken their own life. It seems to be that's the change. That's where the breakaway is. That's where the success is. Unfortunately, the country and members of Congress and the Senate and their government, they're focused on this Cheech and Chong perspective. And this Cheech and Chong perspective is simply not the case. And I can't understand why they don't understand that that was a show. That was a comedy show. It has nothing to do with science, but that's where they got their heads wrapped around right now. And we know how they're getting paid. So I guess that's very convenient.
Now, look, the marijuana industry keeps the prison industry at full tilt. No one gets rehabilitated. Lives are ruined. The costs of incarceration get passed on to the taxpayers. Illicit drug use goes up, not down. That's how you can prove the whole thing is a big ignominious failure. There is such a thing as drug abuse, but it's a public health problem. It is not a criminal problem. And the benefits to cannabis for veterans and the millions of people who are using it for medicine is, I think, a vital ingredient in the president's election. Donald Trump said very clearly that he would support the states' rights to make their own decision on the legalization of cannabis. 29 states have legalized some form of legal marijuana for medicinal purposes, in 9 states for recreational purposes. Trump's position is let the people decide. Jeff Sessions has been surreptitiously working to undermine this declaration by the president since day one. He repealed the Cole Amendment, the one sound piece of public policy in the Obama administration that essentially mandated that the feds stand down on the in terms of enforcement of federal laws pertaining to possession or distribution of marijuana in the states that had legalized it. Sessions repealed that memo. So well, see, it is heartening. It's heartening, Boone. I'm sorry, go ahead. I cut you off.
Okay, I'll go. Sessions is uninformed. He doesn't understand the warfighter community. And here's what we have to do. We have to break away looking at post-traumatic stress disorder and combat-related stress disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder in the same through the same glass because they're not the same thing. And we know this. I mean, just logically, you look through years and years of history, thousands of years, and there's never been a time in history when any group of people went to war and came back, their family and their friends, they always say the same thing. They say that my loved one came home a different person. They came home a different person. Well, that's true. We understand that now through a lot of modern science. We understand how epigenetics works, how there is an epigenetic adaptation for a warfighter that spends a year in combat, 2 years in combat, 3 years in combat. Their DNA changes. Now, what changes within their DNA, how it changes the body, is the body starts taking an uptick in how it needs to regulate itself in a combat environment to stay alive. I'll give you an example. If I grow up in anywhere, Dallas, Texas, and I'm in a nice middle-class family, well, my body is meant to survive a nice middle-class life. Well, you put me in a combat situation, and my body has to change then. It's not meant to survive the next 30, 60 years. It's meant to survive the next 30 seconds, the next 30 minutes during a combat engagement. And so the body changes, it morphs. And our community is taking more and more of this perspective because it makes sense. And so as we look at this perspective and go, yes, I did come home a different person. Every warfighter that deploys to a combat situation comes home and they look at every other warfighter. It's real simple. What do we call each other? We call each other brother. Why? Because those who share the same DNA are family. And that's how we feel about the whole situation. So let's look at this whole perspective of people come home a different person, not metaphorical, because it's literal. It is a literal statement, and we need to look at it that way. Now, what changes all the byproducts of this epigenetic adaptation, one of which being the endocrine system? It pumps you up, it jacks you up so you can survive a combat environment. Well, what brings back the homeostasis to that endocrine system is the endocannabinoid system. That's what does that. It does it naturally. But we're endocannabinoid deficient in this country because of our laws with cannabis. And that's why the Israelis, they've got the niche on this. That's why they are so much more successful helping warfighters that come home from combat environments, because they're not leaving them endocannabinoid deficient. Therefore, their bodies are healing themselves.
There you have it, folks. The best explanation I have heard about the efficacy of cannabinoids in the treatment of PTSD and other maladies across the board. This is a plant, a weed that has been used for centuries to help people. And in 29 states, the people have spoken. The president really encouraged me last week when he squashed Sessions like a bug, and he pledged his support for legal codification, federal protection under law of state legalized marijuana. In an epic announcement with Senator Cory Gardner. This is what members of the U.S. Cannabis Coalition like Bill Maher and Judge Andrew Napolitano, Congressman Matt Gaetz, and others have been working for behind the scenes, and the president has stood tall. Thank you to Boone Cutler for joining us here on the War Room, a warrior. I recognize his incredible role in pushing the entire veterans community and the American Legion and others towards the logical conclusion. It's time to fund more research into cannabis. It's time to make it available to our veterans. It is massively superior to the opioids that they want to choke down our throats. So thank you for joining us. Folks, if you like our interview here with Boone, thank you for joining us. And you want to continue our terrific line of these kinds of interviews, please go to the InfoWars.com store now. Look at the terrific specials and recognize that this kind of programming, bringing you Boone Cutler and that incredible explanation of the treatment of PTSD, only possible through your patronage. To the War Room. First of all, a kudo to Owen Schroyer, who very shrewdly recognized that I have, through the show, worn a succession of Western-style hats. This particular hat is called the Stetson Open Roader, favored by Mark McKinnon of the Circus on in popular culture, but also favored by Lyndon Baines Johnson, Harry Truman, President Dwight Eisenhower, Senator Ralph Yarborough, and others. If you look at the photo of Dallas Police Department homicide detective James Lavelle, the man holding the arm of Lee Harvey Oswald as Oswald is blown away by Jack Ruby, you'll see this is the chapeau he is wearing. Joining us now, director, producer, cinematographer, screenwriter, and all-around friend of mine, Sean Stone, and here is his exciting trailer for his new movie, which is The Fury of the Fist and the Golden Fleece. I watched this earlier. This looks terrific. Folks, take a look.
New York City. There's a war for the streets. the plan is the fist.
Sometimes a man's gotta stand up.
He's opening a can of whoop-ass against the plague of unconsciousness.
I need martial artists who can think.
And injustice.
Show me the fist.
Mother!
With kicks. Splits. Lightning. Tornadoes. And electricity.
Who sent you?
What are you talking about? You came here.
Who did you work for?
Why didn't you say so in the first place?
Starring Sean Stone, Michael Dudikoff, Bianca Van Damme, Richard Grieco, Jahan Jones, Bill Goldberg, Ron Jeremy. Yeah, that Ron Jeremy.
You just got fisted.
Alexander Wraith, Don Fry, Don the Dragon Wilson, with Tiny Lister and Timok, and Danny Trejo.
I hope you brought your boarding pass, because you're about to fly.
Fury of the Fist and the Golden Fleece.
A time has come, and I'm coming with it.
I'm out of lines.
And joining us now is the man himself, Sean Stone. That is a terrific and fast-moving trailer. You've got some real giants of the martial arts world in this film. For those who are aficionados, you've got some incredible action stars. And I like your eye. So tell us about this incredible film.
You know, Alex was offered a role in the movie. I offered Alex Jones a role.
He would have been terrific. Unfortunately for us, the lawsuits and the lawfare campaign is taking a huge amount of his time. He's a broadcaster and he likes to be on the cutting edge, but you know, endless meetings with lawyers and conference calls. I'm living through the same garbage, but he would have been great. And next time, you know, offer me the walk-on. I'll take it.
I need you next time, right? With that hat especially. So basically, this came out of, I call it action hero cinema, the desire to bring back the macho male. We don't get movies like that anymore. You get a lot of superhero movies with, you know, Spider-Man, Batman, all this kind of stuff. Very fantastical, great CGI, right? We don't have the action hero stuff from the 70s, 80s, which I grew up watching. So we wanted to do something that was an homage to that, and also the story involves a conspiracy, because there's a conspiracy from the evil bosses, they call them super boss, to sell meat full of estrogen to emasculate men. So this is the ultimate theme of the story: is the fist is a man, you know, a macho male that has to stand up and save male kind. And in the process, we get a lot of great cameos, like you mentioned, guys like Don the Dragon Wilson and everyone from Chuck Zito to Michael Dudikoff to Bill Goldberg. I mean, countless guys, Cynthia Rothrock, so many people showed up to participate.
Well, this is interesting to me from the point of view that it has a great kind of nostalgic 70s vibe to it that I really liked in the trailer. It is also interesting to me that you have all of these martial arts guys, but the basic premise of the film is one that we've explored here at InfoWars: the infusing of meat with estrogen to dumb down the male population, the soy boy movement exposed by Rob Dew and Michael Zimmerman and others here. Is an important political sub-theme. You know, you're absolutely right. We have our superheroes. They have their perfect physiques and their too tight Lycra outfits, but you don't have any real combat heroes. Tell us what else you're working on, because I know you're a man of many talents and you have your finger in many pies.
Yes, absolutely. Well, as you know, I still do the show for RT, Watching the Hawks. We've had you on multiple times, still trying to break through the fake news and get the real news out there, right? The real truth about these, you know, fake wars and you name it. I mean, I think you know, I think we do a pretty good job of interviewing real people and getting stories across to educate the public. I also do Buzzsaw for Gaia online, and that's fun. We do a lot of really great interviews on spiritual things, more of the esoteric spiritual war, things that are beyond the three dimensions of reality, let's say. So I think working on both fronts has been effective in a sense of you got to work on the political front, you got to talk politics and material things, and you also got to be able to go into the spiritual domain and realize that, hey, there's much more than just the than what it looks like on the screen.
Well, as you know, I have been interviewed by RT on many occasions, including by you and your colleagues, and I've been criticized for it. I can honestly say never on RT was I ever told what I could and could not say. I exposed a great deal more about the truth of the JFK assassination than you ever could have exposed on CNN or any of the mainstream media. No one has ever censored me. I've made it clear when I've appeared in email that I might even criticize the Russian government, and I've still never been muzzled. So it's about what you say. Are the Russians using you for propaganda? No, because I control what I say. I would say I'm using the Russians to get my narrative out, not the other way around. I'm delighted to hear that you're hanging in there. It is something that is very ubiquitous. When I went to the House Intelligence Committee, I was criticized because I was once on a Sputnik radio show funded evidently by the Russians again. No one has ever censored me. If CNN, which at the time was boycotting me, remember that?
Warning.
This broadcast is not for the weak-minded.
It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Line to Line WikiLeaks Friday. We open up the phone lines, 888-201-2244. For the rest of this hour, I'm taking your phone calls. What is your favorite content from WikiLeaks? What do you think is the most bombshell content? Whatever you want. The Podesta emails, the DNC emails, the Vault 7 leaks, anything, it's up to you on WikiLeaks Friday here in the third hour of the War Room. And I think it's timely, as I have the lawsuit in front of me, that WikiLeaks and Julian Assange are both mentioned in the same lawsuit as defendants that Roger Stone is on. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to, you know what, I'll go ahead and collude with WikiLeaks right now. How about that? Go ahead and put that in a lawsuit. And we're going to take your phone calls. Again, the crew is aggregating those right now, 888-201-2244. They hate WikiLeaks because it's their actual content. These are actual emails from the Podesta group, from the Clinton, you know, cohorts, and it's all exposing their corruption. So we're aggregating your phone calls right now. Your favorite WikiLeaks. Your favorite WikiLeaks. At 888-201-2244. Now, I'm going to plug through the rest of these headlines before we do that. So let me just do this. No rhyme or reason. This was one that I was upset about. I know that others were upset about. Avicii, not necessarily political news here, but a great musician, a Grammy-nominated DJ. How did he not win a Grammy? Wow. I mean, this guy was magical. So sad to see Avicii go. One of my favorite artists. A lot of big fans of Avicii. And then you have this. This is actually more political. Smallville actress Allison Mack arrested for role in alleged sex cult. So you remember the story that broke like 2 or 3 weeks ago, the sex cult. Nixvim, I don't know, NXIVM. Everybody remembers that story that was breaking. And we covered that. Now they've arrested Allison Mack, apparently, for her alleged role in the notorious sex slave cult. Now, is Alex Jones going to get a Pulitzer Prize for telling you about Hollywood sex cults 10 years ago? No. Is Donald Trump going to get a Nobel Prize if he works out a peace deal with North Korea? No. Is Barack Obama going to get a Nobel Peace Prize when he accomplishes absolutely nothing and expands and actually gets the U.S. involved in more foreign entanglements? Yes. Here's Donald Trump on Twitter today. This is at 4 a.m. I mean, the guy doesn't even sleep. Looks like OPEC is at it again. With record amounts of oil all over the place, including the fully loaded ships at sea, oil prices are artificially very high, no good, and will not be accepted. Now, remember, I covered this yesterday on the Jones Show. I wonder if Trump was listening. I was curious if these rising oil prices approaching, you know, records that we haven't seen in years might have had something to do with Rex Tillerson being on the outs. So Trump is going to address that. Now, here's a story that I didn't really cover and I won't be able to, but you've probably heard. Government accidentally releases documents on psychoelectric weapons. Okay, so now you've got Hollywood sex cults coming out in mainstream news. And now you've got government documents of psychoelectric weapons effects and how they can control your mind and control your body with electromagnetic psychoelectric weapons, a cell phone. And again, is Alex Jones going to get his Pulitzer Prize for telling you this years ago? Nope. They'll just act like Alex Jones doesn't exist and demonize him. You know, the left is so out of control right now. I'll have to get to the stack of news. You won't believe this story about Hillary Clinton in the Daily Beast. You will not believe it. And then the Democrats are going to include slave reparations on their 2022 platform. Because they're so desperate for votes, they're pardoning felons, they're bringing in illegals. Now they're going to tell black people that they're going to give them free money because they can't get any other votes. Or they're just going to outrun as a socialist. Yes, I'm running as a socialist. Now the Democrat Socialist Party is a thing that they think can be successful in America. It's WikiLeaks Friday, and they hate WikiLeaks. They hate Julian Assange. And you know what? In reality, it's not that they actually hate Julian Assange or WikiLeaks. It's that they hate the truth. And Julian Assange and WikiLeaks brings you the truth. And that's why they hate it. And that's why they demonize it. And that's why now they're being sued by the DNC. Think about it. The DNC has its emails leaked by WikiLeaks, exposing all the corruption in the DNC. And instead of someone launching an investigation into the Democrat Party, they sue WikiLeaks. I mean, this is the most bass-ackwards legal precedent that you could ever imagine. Oh, hey, I'm WikiLeaks. I just exposed corruption at the DNC. Well, how dare you? I'm the DNC. I'm suing you for exposing my corruption. And then you have scumbag lawyers that will actually get behind that, and then you have to wonder why. So, we go line to line on this Friday. It is WikiLeaks Friday. And before we launch it, and we've got a lot of callers ready to go here, I got to do a quick plug. Ladies and gentlemen, you can probably notice that my voice is kind of weak right now. I was at a rock concert on Wednesday night, and I know I'm crazy, but I like to go crazy and sing and shout at rock concerts. I'm probably a masculinist, a toxic male, so I apologize for being a toxic male that loves rock and roll. But thankfully, I'm serious. If it wasn't for Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle, I don't think I could go on air right now. I think my voice would be totally destroyed. So I'm going to go ahead and hit this real quick. Give me a minute here. It's got a bit of like a minty peppermint aftertaste too. And you can probably already hear that my voice is better, literally just from spraying it. So check out Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle. Now I used to take, whenever I would feel a scratchiness coming onto my throat, or I would feel like maybe a virus or something, an infection coming onto my throat, I used to just drink the colloidal silver that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, which was also great. But I feel like this is more effective at actually coating you. Because if you drink it, it kind of just, it goes down and it gets into your system. But this is specifically better for like coating your throat and really addressing, I think, something that could be going on there long term instead of just kind of washing through when you just drink the colloidal silver. So Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle, also freshens your breath. It's got the nano silver in there. It's got the nascent iodine in there. It's incredibly powerful, folks. Give it a try. People have been trying to figure out what to do about sore throats for years. Well, we've got the remedy at InfoWarsStore.com, Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle. We also have the lung cleanse, which is great when you're coughing up. Hillary Clinton could really use some of this. I don't really have a cough, so I'm not sure this will help a scratchy throat, but a great product there. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. It makes everything we do here possible, okay? That's how we're able to have... We've got like four crews now that we're trying to be able to get to run everything so that our crews aren't working like 50, 60 hours a week like they are right now. So InfoWarsStore.com, support us, and we promise to grow and expand in the face of all the attacks against real media. So thank you for your support, and you have our word to continue the fight for truth and justice. All right, without it. Further hesitation, let's start WikiLeaks Friday. We take your phone calls, 888-201-2244. Your favorite WikiLeaks content. This is content from their own mouths that they've never denied is real. Now, I'll open it up, and then we'll go to Trent, we'll go to Nemo, we'll go to Thomas, and we'll keep taking your calls. My favorite WikiLeaks content is Get Ready for Chicago Hot Dog Friday. That's right. If we get the same quote-unquote waitresses, I'm all for it. Waitresses in quotes. You can only imagine what that might mean. And then it goes on. I think Obama spent about $65,000 of the taxpayers' money flying in pizza / dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House not too long ago. Assume we are using the same channels. And then... To celebrate all you hot dogs out there, Eric, you can participate as well. So I don't know what that means. Folks, you know, you don't have to be a detective genius. You don't have to be an expert in code language to know they ain't talking about hot dogs. But let's say they are talking about hot dogs. When did Obama have an event at the White House when he needed $65,000 worth of hot dogs? That's about, I mean, seriously, what? That's at least 100,000 hot dogs, maybe more. That's like enough that they go through at a baseball game. So what event would Obama have where he needed enough hot dogs to feed a crowd that goes to a ball game? Why is he spending taxpayer money on him? And why is he flying in pizza / dogs from Chicago for a private party? So what is this private party that has 100,000 people that need 65 grand of hot dogs and pizza flown in from Chicago? Again, folks, they ain't talking about pizza and hot dogs. And my guess is that hot dog is attached to some body with some muscular legs and some big pecs for Obama to motorboat when he's finished with Michael. But I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. You know, maybe waitresses, quote unquote, isn't code language. Maybe flying in pizza / hot dogs from Chicago for $65,000 isn't code language. Maybe Obama really is eating 65 grand worth of hot dogs with his 20 closest friends. And if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you in the lost city of Atlantis. So that's my favorite WikiLeaks content, Barack Obama's hot dog celebration. And then, of course, I've got a list here of the top 100 WikiLeaks bombshells that we can get into. But for now, let's go to your calls. Let's go to Trent calling in from Oregon. Trent, what is your favorite WikiLeaks content?
Hey, guys. My favorite one would be the Clinton email scandal, because not only did it prove that, it started the ball to show how Clinton is scandalous and corrupt. But not only that, I think it really showed how the mainstream media was trying to cover all that up, and it really showed how they're controlled through another state.
So are you talking about the emails, which was actually number one on this list, how Obama knew about Hillary's secret server and he was writing to her using a pseudonym so that he could stay out of that investigation?
The whole thing. From the beginning to the end of the email scandal, it opened up like 10 more doors to other scandals that snowballed into where we're at now.
Yeah. And again, Another one here. Hillary deleted her incriminating emails. State covered it up, asked about using White House executive privilege to hide from Congress. And there's four different emails from the Podesta emails where you can highlight that. In fact, guys, you know what? This will make this go a little smoother. Go to the, this is, I believe, from a Reddit post. This is the top 100 bombshells from the WikiLeaks. And so when we have a caller like Trent who kind of calls with a more generic statement, I can go through this and find the exact emails he's talking about. And then you guys can click the links because the links are in here. And then we can find those exact emails because people, we don't, I mean, people need to know that we're not just making this stuff up. I mean, this is real stuff that they are trying to cover up. Thank you for the call, Trent. Let's squeeze in Nemo real quick. Go ahead, Nemo.
Hey, Owen, you hear me?
Yeah, what's your favorite WikiLeaks email?
Can't name the specific email, but I was reminded of it through the Donald on Reddit. And it proves collusion between Bernie Sanders and Hillary before the end of the primary. And I got reminded of this because a guy cited it, sent in a letter to the Bernie Sanders campaign and got all $1,200-some-odd of the money he donated to Bernie refunded without having to go to court, just threatening small claims.
Oh, don't worry, Nemo. We found it. That's number 18, and we've got the links. This is going to be good stuff. We got this all working now. Thank you for the call, Nemo. Again, WikiLeaks Friday. This is undeniable content from the mouth of Sauron itself. The Podesta emails, the DNC emails, exposing their own corruption. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're taking your phone calls. What is your favorite WikiLeaks content on WikiLeaks Friday? But this is just breaking right now. President Trump's foreign policy keeps winning. Now, you've just had a Russian ambassador come out and say that the latest strikes on Syria did not cross a red line with Russia because Trump was coordinating with Russia and the Kremlin before they happened. Thank God. Now, the left is going to spin that and say it's proof of collusion. I say thank God that we're coordinating with Russia to beat ISIS and to stop the deep state from launching more proxy wars in Syria. Now you've got North Korea suspending their nuclear testing. I mean, Trump is actually solving the foreign policy issues that seemed impossible, and he's not even going to get a Nobel Peace Prize. He's not even going to get a mention, and it's really sick, folks. It really is sick that you know, I hope that the real story gets told by history books when I'm dead and gone, but right now they just don't tell you the truth at all, and they'll tell you the exact opposite. Trump's a warmonger. He's the worst person ever. And again, I was upset that he lied about the chemical attacks in Syria. I was upset with the strike, and I prayed to God that he coordinated with Russia before doing that so that we wouldn't go to World War III. Now it looks like that's the case. Let's go back out to your phone calls, WikiLeaks Friday. Let's go to Thomas in Maryland. What is your favorite WikiLeaks content?
Hey, Owen. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
All right. My favorite WikiLeaks email is the Podesta emails. It's number 1120. And it is the email saying that Hillary was trying to promote Donald Trump to be the Pied Piper candidate. So I would like to thank Hillary and Podesta for giving us our president and trying to make America great again and helping us out. You know, it kind of backfired in their face, but I just think that's pretty hilarious. You know?
Yeah, like they thought that Trump was such a bad candidate, they could kind of bring him up and then bring him down, and then they made the horrible mistake of assuming that they were the ones that created Trump. See, that was their hubris. They thought they created Trump. They didn't realize Trump created Trump, so they couldn't bring Trump down. See, that's how they work. If you're a guy like Glenn Beck, or name any establishment figure that gets brought up in the media or brought up by the establishment, well, then they can destroy you. If they made you, they can destroy you. They didn't make Trump. They can't destroy him. They didn't make Alex Jones. They can't destroy him. They didn't make Owen Schroyer. They can't destroy me. That is the key. And that email that you're talking about just shows their hubris, that they just assumed they could make Trump what they wanted him to be, and then they could tear him down in the end.
Exactly.
All right, Thomas, thank you so much for the call. And we pulled up that email, didn't we, guys? I'm sorry, I was reading from the thing. Yeah, we did pull it up. So we're trying to pull up all these emails in real time here while we break this down. Great work by the crew. Let's go to Sam in Oklahoma. Sam, what's your favorite WikiLeaks content?
Hey, Owen, I wanted to talk about the Podesta email that referred to Marina Abramović, the lady witch doctor. Brought out the spirit cooking and the real witchcraft and sorcery and the devil worship that these people are involved in. And not only Hillary Clinton, but also Barbara Bush.
Yeah. Yeah, that was mentioned in there. And don't forget all the connections that Marina Abramović has to Hollywood and the entertainment industry. And then you looked up the videos that she does, the spirit cookings, where she's smearing blood and semen on the walls and writing cryptic messages and doing like fake cannibalistic rituals or something where they're like with Lady Gaga eating out like of a human bathtub or something weird. And this is just in the emails. They talk about going to spirit cookings. You have weird art that the Podestas are all into and sell that looks like satanic cult stuff. So, yeah, this to me is a bombshell. And I think that the spirit cookers are really the term that we need to start using because, you know, globalists and deep state has now permeated the mainstream media. So the terms globalist and deep state that we at InfoWars forced into the mainstream media, that's already been an effective campaign. So I think it's time for us to move to the next level and start referring to these people as the Satanists or spirit cookers, because that's what we're dealing with here. Spirit cookers, people that literally... You know what? I'm not going to go too far into this, but folks, look up spirit cooking and ask yourself why they're talking about that in Podesta emails and ask yourself why Marina Abramović has connections to all of these people in politics and all of these people in the entertainment industry. Yeah, really, really incredible stuff there. The spirit cooking emails in the Podesta emails, folks. This should be story number one. Spirit cookers, man. We're dealing with damn spirit cookers smearing blood and semen on walls during rituals, man. I mean, that is some nasty, sick stuff. Spirit cookers. The Podestas go to spirit cooking events. They get invited to spirit cooking events. All right. Thank you for the call, Sam. Let's go to Trevor in Wisconsin. Trevor, what's your favorite WikiLeaks content?
My favorite WikiLeaks content, I like the emails that exposed the Roger Stone's ties to the Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin.
Mm-hmm. And what email was that?
Oh, you know, the one, it was the one where it also said that Roger Stone does his shopping at the Burlington Coat Factory.
I can't tell if you're being serious or you're trying to troll me. I mean, I put you on air. I don't know what you're talking about.
We all know there's no email that exposed the Russian collusion. I know. Did I go too deep on you there? Like,
I what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm saying that's not a real email.
Okay. All right, I get it. Okay. So yeah. All right. Actually, that's a perfect illustration of the Russian collusion narrative. It's totally made up. So thank you, Trevor. You called in with the made up story and then just to personify the entire Russian collusion. Okay. I get what you did now. Yeah. Russian collusion is totally made up. Exactly. So I can sit here and I can try to go through all the WikiLeaks emails and I'll never find the email that exposes Russian collusion because it doesn't exist. All right, I get it. Okay, that's fine. I can find an email about spirit cooking, but nothing on Russian collusion, yet we're investigating Russian collusion. Incredible. All right, let's go to Bruce calling in from Iowa. What's your favorite WikiLeaks content, Bruce?
Well, the one I had was with Podesta email about he wanted to split up the Catholic Church. He wanted to see if you can get rid of the conservative element of the Catholic Church. And Martha Raddatz of ABC News called up the people he emailed to or contacted them, and it was true. I mean, he tried to do that. And it's illustrated of what Alex Jones talks about, is how the globalists want to break down the morality of the country or split it off to get what they want, their agenda.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that email right now in my list. I don't remember that. I guess that they were afraid that the Catholic Church was too powerful as a political movement, or what?
Well, the Catholic Church is divided. I mean, there's a lot of conservatives, and there's this movement that is, you know, more liberal movement that has been around. It's pretty evenly divided. And he wanted to get it. He called the, you know, well, abortion is one issue. He wanted to get it more towards the liberal side. And that is a big political.
We actually found the email. Thank you for the call, Bruce. Not only was Podesta trying to break up the Catholic Church for political reasons, they were mocking Catholics' faith, too, in the emails. So it just shows you what they think about the average American. They'll mock your faith. They'll mock you. Joy Behar mocks Mike Pence. And they think they're bigger than you. They think they're entitled to select the president, and your vote doesn't mean jack crap.
The American way of life
is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
All right, it's WikiLeaks Friday. Here's what we know so far. Obama really, really, really likes hot dogs and pizza. We know that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats colluded against Bernie Sanders, so he never had a chance. They were burying him from the get-go. We know the media was coordinating with Hillary. We know that John Podesta mocked Catholics for their faith. And we know that apparently the Democrats are heavily involved in spirit cookings. Those are just some of the revelations we've gotten so far here on WikiLeaks Friday. By the way, again, we're now getting news that Donald Trump did indeed coordinate with the Russians before the Syrian strike. That is huge, huge news. And you also have North Korea freezing its nuclear testing, another victory for Trump. So here's Trump actually engaging in real foreign policy as the American president, not trying to sidestep America into degradation. And what does he get for it? Ridiculed, lied about, scorned, and attacked relentlessly. Even though the man deserves a Nobel Peace Prize, he'll never get it. And that shows you how corrupt these establishments have become in America. Even the Nobel Peace Prize has been co-opted and destroyed by liberalism. That Barack Obama gets a Nobel Peace Prize for doing nothing, and then they don't even rescind the Nobel Peace Prize when he bombs seven different countries and expands the United States foreign wars. A total warmonger, Barack Obama, bragging about drone strikes. Drone strikes a wedding. I mean, the guy is a sick criminal. Tries to run guns over the border. That's Barack Obama, the Nobel Peace Prize winner. Donald Trump wants to stop guns from going over the border. Donald Trump wants to get a healthy relationship with North Korea. Donald Trump wants to actually solve the Syria problem, working with Russia to do it. What does he get? Scorned, ridiculed, called the bad guy, called Hitler, even though he deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. And if you understand that, you understand how corrupted the average thought, or just you understand how corrupted just the picture that the media and the establishment tries to give to you. Yeah, Barack Obama, Nobel Peace Prize winner, Donald Trump, Hitler. In reality, Donald Trump should win the Nobel Peace Prize, and Obama was closer to Hitler. You see how that works? That's why InfoWars exists, folks, because we give you the reality. For example, this story from the Daily Beast, I mean, you want to talk about fake news. Oh, my gosh. Hillary Clinton on election night, they were never going to let me be president. Folks, they were never going to let Bernie be president. That's exposing the WikiLeaks. They rigged it against Bernie. They rigged the whole thing against Trump. That's exposing the WikiLeaks. They thought they could bring Trump in, create him, and then bring him down. And then the Daily Beast runs this fake news story. Listen to this. Just listen to this. No one in modern politics, male or female, has had to withstand more indignities, setbacks, and cynicism. Who do you think they're talking about? She developed protective armor that made the real Hillary Clinton an enigma. But if she was guarded about her feelings and opinions, she believed it was in careful pursuit of a dream for generations of Americans, the election of the country's first woman president. Listen to that. No one in modern politics, male or female, has had to withstand more indignities, setbacks, and cynicism. Folks, if that doesn't describe Donald Trump, it doesn't describe anyone. But they say that's Hillary Clinton. And then it says, that would have been the nut of the New York Times story about Hillary Clinton's historic victory that would have run under the headline, Madam President, spread across six front page columns, according to reporter Amy Chozick's new book, Chasing Hillary, 10 Years, 2 Presidential Campaigns, and 1 Intact Glass Ceiling. If that isn't the personification, the perfect example of fake news, there isn't such thing. No one in modern politics, male or female, has had to withstand more indignities, setbacks, and cynicism than Hillary Clinton. No, that's Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton was a media darling. They toasted to Hillary Clinton on air. Donald Trump gets 90% of coverage on him, negative. And then it shows you how the entire media was going along with it. 6 different front page columns ready to go with the headline, Madam President. They had it rigged, folks. Hillary Clinton lost a rigged election. Do you understand that? She lost a rigged election. Donald Trump is like shoeless Joe Jackson from the Chicago White Sox, except he won the game. It's unbelievable. And it's all exposed in the WikiLeaks, and that's why it's WikiLeaks Friday, and we're talking about it. So let's go to Alicia calling in from Oregon. Oh, and you wanted to talk about the media colluding with Clinton. Go ahead, Alicia.
Hey, Owen.
What's your favorite WikiLeaks content?
My favorite WikiLeaks content is when the WikiLeaks exposed how the mainstream media, and including late-night talk show hosts, would go and actually talk to the Clinton campaign about what they were allowed to talk about on their shows. And also how everything was being coordinated with George Soros to the point where George Soros' phone number was actually in the WikiLeaks. And Patriot started calling his phone number and we filled up his inbox. It was hilarious. I called too.
That's right. Here you go. Here's some of the examples. Number 16, Hillary cheated in debates. DNC head Donna Brazile caught giving multiple debate questions to Hillary. Of course, she then admitted that because Donna Brazile wrote her book. So yeah, it got exposed in the WikiLeaks that Hillary Clinton was, what the media was in cahoots with Hillary Clinton. Number 24, rigging media polls through oversampling. Yeah, they oversampled Democrats and then rigged the polls. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. So just like we knew, here you go. List of reporters that Hillary wined and dined, including biggest journalists and pundits of CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, New York Times. That's number 35. So, yeah, you know, the media totally coordinates with Clinton. They're still coordinating with Clinton to try to bring down Trump. And it's all exposed in the WikiLeaks. And that's why CNN tells you you're not allowed to watch the WikiLeaks. And that's why the Democrats sue WikiLeaks saying they're a Russian agent. Total lies. Total lies. WikiLeaks exposed the Democrats for who they are. A bunch of corrupt dirtbags. Thank you for the call, Alicia. Let's go to Sazo in New York. Go ahead, Sazo.
Hi, Owen.
Hello. Yes. What's your favorite WikiLeaks content?
Hi there. There was an email from a person named Orca to John Podesta in the Podesta email, and the title of the email was Multikultistan, a House of Horrors for Ordinary Germans. And this Orca, he was writing to John Podesta on a somewhat regular basis and basically just telling them about how the multicultural program and policies of Europe were completely killing Europe, so they totally know what they're doing.
Yeah, and there's also an email where Hillary Clinton says that she wants wide open borders. They found the Podesta email you're talking about right here. So they know that the multiculturalism and the open borders destroys nations, destroys sovereignty, destroys civilization, and that's what they wanted. And it got exposed in the WikiLeaks.
It's a really long one, but in there they talk about how other smaller countries around Germany are kind of waking up and resisting. But because Germany has like the hangover of Hitler and of that situation, a guilt complex.
Yeah, that's what they do. They guilt them about Hitler.
They'll basically commit suicide as a country. So that's what it's all about.
Yep, and that's what's going on. It's happening in Sweden. But then you have Orban, who just got elected in Hungary, who has now rid Hungary of George Soros. George Soros originally from Hungary. The Hungarians got it right. They're getting the hell rid of that crook.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's amazing. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's go to, you know what, we got to go to a break here. So, but there you go, folks. One more segment. 888-201-2244. What is your favorite WikiLeaks content? During the break, I got to hit this Super Blue Silver immune gargle before, because my throat, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I got one more segment left. Oh, I got to go to another rock show this weekend, too. Oh, yeah, I'm complaining about that. Hopefully, I'll have a voice on Monday, but with Super Blue Silver immune gargle, keep Owen Schroyer on air. Get him Super Blue immune gargle now. Final little story here to cover before we take your calls here on the WikiLeaks Friday Spectacular. You know, if this doesn't show you Tariq Nasheed is either one of the dumbest people you've ever seen, or he just intentionally puts this stuff out there knowing it's totally fake just to screw with people and to brainwash his audience, he tweets this out. Now, Tommy Loren, I guess she's a Dallas Cowboys fan. Famous Dallas Cowboys player Dez Bryant just got released from the team or some deal. So she puts a photo up with her Cowboys shirt on and then the Dez Bryant sign that he did when he scored a touchdown or made a big play with 88 on it, his number. Nothing to it. I mean, there is literally nothing to it. It's just a sports fan. But Tariq Nasheed, leave it to that liberal loon or that propaganda artist or both to tweet out in response to that. Tomorrow is April 20th, which is a significant day for the white supremacists because it's Hitler's birthday. Racists usually send racially coded messages to each other as a way to commemorate Hitler. One way is to use the number 88, which is a code for Heil Hitler. Tariq Nasheed ought to be sued. If I was Tommy Loren, I'd sue him. But that's what you get from propaganda peddlers like Tariq Nasheed. And anyone who actually believes that garbage is even dumber than him, if you can believe that. All right, let's go back out to your phone calls on WikiLeaks Friday. Let's go to O'Brien in Maryland. What is your favorite WikiLeaks content?
My favorite WikiLeaks is the one which is called Collateral Murder, where those two, where Chelsea Manning basically released the videos of these two helicopter gunmen shooting down a bunch of people.
Well, and let's not forget as well that you had exposed in the WikiLeaks emails, they're talking about Wetworks with Justice Scalia. Now, there's the collateral murder one that O'Brien was talking about. This is from 5th of April, 2010. WikiLeaks released classified U.S. military video depicting the indiscriminate slaying of over a dozen people in the Iraqi suburb of New Baghdad, including two Reuters news staff. So WikiLeaks exposing war crimes even in 2010. Yeah, and it's just incredible because the liberals loved it then, when it was exposing conservatives, but when it exposes the Democrats, all of a sudden it's a Russian Federation conspiracy. Thank you for the call, O'Brien. Let's jump out to Leonard, calling in from Michigan. Go ahead, Leonard. What's your favorite WikiLeaks content?
Hey, Owen, how you doing? I just hope I don't get sued for saying this live on air by the Democrats, but my favorite email was one that Alex talked about on the Joe Rogan podcast where John Podesta said he woke up in the middle of the night, and sure enough, a toddler was, like, pulling on his leg or pulling on his nose. It was something weird along those lines.
You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I don't even know about that one. Podesta dreaming about toddlers pulling on him?
They talked about it when he was on Joe Rogan's podcast. He said, like, and sure enough, I woke up and a toddler was pulling on his leg or pulling on his nose or something.
Our crew, I'm sure, is trying to find that right now. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I just can't believe I'm not even familiar with that one, or maybe I need to refresh my memory. But let's not forget about the email that did talk about them having children ages 5, 7, and 12 in the hot tub for your entertainment. What the hell is that? They found the email. There's the email right there. Almost half of infants. All right, you know what? Well, I don't know what that is. We'll try to find that. But I do know for a fact, I'm not doubting Leonard's account here. We just don't have the email in front of us, and I can't recall it from my memory right now. But there is the email where they talk about having a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 12-year-old in the hot tub, quote, for your entertainment. What the hell does that mean? And then you've got the Podestas doing spirit cookings. You got them into all this weird art. You've got them doing weird symbolism on their social media. I mean, you know what? We're just going to leave it at that, okay? But you guys know what's going on here, okay? You know what's going on. You know what Andrew Breitbart said about John Podesta, all right? People know what John Podesta's up to, okay? And we're just going to leave it at that. Thank you so much for the call, Leonard. Of course, you know, Joe Biden will grope young children right on the floor of Congress and not even care. So, I mean, that shows you how these people have just been floating by lawlessly for years, that Joe Biden can grope and feel and try to sexually assault children, in my view, on the floor of Congress and get away with it. Really, really sick stuff. Let's go to Sam in Oklahoma. Sam, what is your favorite WikiLeaks content?
Yes, I wanted to add one thing about the spirit cooking. This goes back not only years, but also generations. And Barbara Bush, her mother came back from Europe after hanging out in Golden Dawn circles with none other than Aleister Crowley himself, came back mysteriously pregnant. Barbara Bush was born in 1925, and she is the spitting image of the beast himself, Aleister Crowley.
So you, I've heard these rumors. I've heard these rumors. I don't know about this. I'm not reporting on it. But you believe that Barbara Bush is the daughter of Aleister Crowley?
Absolutely, which makes Bush Jr. the grandson of Aleister Crowley. Witchcraft lines, I'm an expert on this. By the way, I really wish that McCarthyism and witch hunting were not used in the rhetorical sense. Those have changed use over time, but I am both a witch hunter and a McCarthyist and a priest hunter in the Cromwellian sense. And in dealing with witchcraft, they like to pass down through the matriarchal line versus the Judeo-Christian view that inheritance are passed through the patriarchal line. So George Bush Jr., as governor of Texas, this is where I uncovered the plot against Tomas Yarrington, the governor of Tamaulipas, who's really the likely next president for Mexico if a miracle happens and he's brought out of the dungeon. Witchcraft was worked against him. This goes way, way, way back. In fact, in Blizzard of Oz, 1980, Ozzy Osbourne told us all about it, sang the song, Mr. Crowley, and that was the very year that Barbara Bush became the second lady.
Well, and again, you're not just making this stuff up. I mean, they talk about the spirit cookings, they film the spirit cookings, they even do these crazy rituals that they admit now, and then they try to get the average leftist out there to get involved with it, and they'll sell like voodoo dolls, and they'll have people like pretending the voodoo doll is Trump or pretending the voodoo doll is Alex Jones or us at InfoWars. And the spiritual battle is real, and you'll never know it until you engage in it. But it's really incredible that this is what these people are behind. Look, I'm not for dancing on the grave of the dead, okay? At the same time, I'm not about to go along with some narrative that Barbara Bush is some hero. I just choose not to report on it. But it is strange to me, as these people, you know, that are up there in age are starting to die off, the Barbara Bushes, the Nelly Mandelas. I mean, just look at Nelly Mandela. This is a woman who was famous for the tire necklaces where they'd light tires on fire and burn people to death. And she's celebrated as some hero. Again, it's like Barbara Bush. Like, okay, whatever, Barbara Bush, maybe she's a drunk. Maybe she's a spirit cooker. I don't know. She's dead now. I don't want to dance in her grave. But again, I mean, I'm sorry. To me, George Bush's administration was guilty of war crimes. I mean, but we don't get to talk about that. We have to continue the facade that all of these people are heroes. That's what angers me, this facade that they continue to promote, like the Bush family is like American heroes. I'm just not buying that. Prescott Bush colluded with Nazis, that's a fact. And George Bush administration lied to get us into foreign wars. And 9/11 happened under George Bush, and he probably could have stopped it and didn't. Thank you for the call, Sam. Do we have time to squeeze in? Yeah, Jim from New Jersey, final caller of the day. What is your favorite WikiLeaks content?
Hello, Owen. How you doing?
I'm about to lose my voice, so take it over.
Okay, my favorite is the when Julian Assange offered $20,000 as a reward for the to find the, and arrest the killer of Seth Rich. And I got a least favorite too. That's the night that I stayed up all night watching this special. Alex Jones and WikiLeaks never came through.
Yeah, we got trolled by WikiLeaks that night, and it wasn't our finest hour either.
Okay, brother, I'm with you. Thank you for everything you do.
All right, Jim in New Jersey. You know, that's a great point brought up by Jim. Let's not forget, Julian Assange essentially signaling that Seth Rich was his source for some of these emails, probably the DNC emails, and Seth Rich winds up dead on the streets of D.C. No answers, no explanation, total lies about that. Great content from Julian Assange, folks. Wow, what a great show. This is the type of show you share with your family and friends. This is the type of show that hits the zeitgeist. Just total truth, total fact, undeniable reality, hitting you hardcore, right in the face from InfoWars.com. I sign off for the week. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.